All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Free For All. This is your host, Big John. I stammered a little bit there because I was trying to interpret the hostess's sign language here. I don't know if he was trying to tell me to hurry up. The play clock's running out. We got to break the huddle. We got to call the play. It's fourth and goal. No timeouts left. I don't know what's going on there, Hody. But whatever's going on, I can definitely say I'm happy to be with you here once again on a Thursday night for another episode of Free For All. Brother, how you doing?
Doing good. Sorry for throwing you off. I'm just dancing. I'm just happy to be here. I'm a dancey guy.
So gotcha.
Maybe the chicken dance is clearly not a sign. I'll stick to something because I'm aware of the kind of the drum roll hands.
Yeah, you know, or is it drum roll hands?
Let's move it here.
False start, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So welcome, everyone, to this episode of Free For All. Thank you for joining us once again on a Thursday night. Right here on at Grumblings Media, rather, grumblingsmedia.com. Also, you can follow us on Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, X, basically all the major social media platforms. You'll find us there at Grumblings Media, all one word, at Grumblings Media. Also, if you listen to just the audio version of this, you're probably listening on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music. So anywhere basically podcasts can be found, you can find us, Spotify, of course. And Hoadster, it's been a pretty busy week this week in terms of some heavy interest of libertarian stuff going on in the country, in the world. And want to get to it. And before we do, let's say hello to some friends that are in the chat tonight. Our man Free from the Are You Smarter Than a Politician game internet game show. By the way, guys, if you haven't caught that show, catch it. It's fabulous. I think they're on 2-3 times a week, Hoadster. And hey, let's brag a little bit. We both ended up winning the contest when we appeared on the show. So say visit Free. Check out the Are You Smarter Than a Politician podcast. It's good.
And it's Tuesday and Thursday evenings.
There you go.
And so thankfully doesn't conflict with our schedule, which is nice.
You mean Friday evenings, right?
I'm sorry, Tuesday and Friday evenings. Because otherwise
right.
That would. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. So thankfully you don't have to wreck your sleep schedule like you do for our show.
Like you do for our show because right. 10 o'clock is the only time we find to do the show. Also, holy ass, Hody isn't in a suit, LOL, from Chris Townsend. Yeah, I was show him why. Wait. He disappeared on us.
Oh, no. It doesn't like this. The background's going away because
yeah.
I need to show people why.
You disappeared into a sea of immigrants. There you go.
Here we go. Live free, baby. It's a good segue. You also get to see exactly how sculpted my boobs are right now. I've been working these they call them pecs, but when you're over 41, they're boobs.
Oh, gotcha.
So I've got that nice torso going, right? And I'm kind of excited about it. So I just wanted to show my workout stuff, but also a little merch.
Sure. Since you gave us the opening there, Hody, let's do that right now. There you go. That's the shirt Hody is repping over there.
And I got to say, remarkably high quality. Like, it's thick. It's I was expecting, like, kind of a tissue paper. But
right. When you set up your merch, they ask you, do you want to make more money or do you want to put something quality out there? And basically, we don't want people walking away with a bad impression of Grumblings Media or the Free For All guys. So we said, We'll shave a little bit of the profit off just so folks can get themselves a good t-shirt. But get the chance. Go to our swag shop, shop.grumblingsmedia.com, or just scan that QA code there for that shirt. Really cool looking shirt. Very libertarian with the black and gold, fellas. So you could check that out. Also the mug. We've got a couple of those up for sale. Check us out. You know, we're pimping hard here. We're pimping hard. All right, guys. Now let's also, let's continue to say hi to Terry from Free's producer on Are You Smarter Than a Politician saying, shared, guys. Thank you so much, Terry, for sharing the show. We really appreciate it. That's how we libertarians help each other grow. Greatly appreciated. Amity. Sup. I feel very silly being a 60-year-old man, Hody, saying sup.
Oh, come on. That's our thing now. The Budweiser commercials, right? Like, we're old enough now.
Well, you know, somebody as young and as obviously attractive as Amity can say sup and get away with it. I don't know if a 60-year-old can. Terry correcting us on the time. Tuesday and Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time for Are You Smarter Than a Politician? So write that down, fellas. Make sure you fellas, gals, anywhere in between, make sure you check out the show. Chris Townsend, Hody says, nice swag, Hodester. Absolutely, it is nice. Thank you, Chris. Chris, go out and get yourself a T-shirt. I'm sure you might find something like, ooh, flashing them guns.
It's real tight right there, like a leg.
Well, you know what it is. You gotta get the flab going, like Big John here. You see that ripple down there, Cole? that's what you need, Hodester. That's what you need.
I've relaxed it. I can really get some nice bounce going on here. There we go.
It's been a long time since that D wrestling days, I'll tell you that much. All right. Let's get on with the show today, though, because I want to make sure that we cover this stuff, because there's a lot of, like we said initially, there's a lot of stuff going on that's very troubling to me in terms of just my libertarian principles. Hody, yours as well. Let's start out by talking what everyone is cackling about on X right now, and that is ABC's indefinite suspension of see, brother, you got to learn not to look at the comments too much, because there's some really funny dudes out there. So let's share, everyone. That gun was 1.5 A. That's a good one. There,
such a jerk, too.
1.5 A and perfect timing as well. So
mean.
All right, folks. So anyway, so let's get on with it. Jimmy Kimmel had his show indefinitely suspended, the late night show, the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Now, let's put this a little bit in perspective here. It was indefinitely suspended not because ABC decided suddenly that they needed to take something off the air that was causing controversy and generating tons of publicity for them. They were taken off because of an explicit threat by the chairman of the SEC, Mr. Carr, who basically went on right-wing MAGA propagandist Benny Johnson's podcast and said, listen, if ABC and Disney don't do something about Jimmy Kimmel, we could do this either the hard way or the easy way or the hard way. Very clearly implying, if not outright stating, government coercion against speech that the government, that the federal government, i.e. President Trump, finds distasteful or offensive, Hody. Now, to set the stage, let's play the actual bit that has MAGA upset in the wake of the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's murder. This is what Kimmel had to say, and this is what has MAGA.
New lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them.
Now, let me pause it here. Now, Hody, that particular line, I want you to keep that in mind, because that is the basis of this guy Carr from the FCC, the chairman of the FCC, claiming that he has authority to act against ABC. That line in particular. But let me finish off the rest of it.
Everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition, construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish, okay?
All right, Hodester. So that was the bit that has MAGA all has their panties up in a bunch. So let's be – I'll give you my take, and then I want to hear what you have to say. First of all, what Carr is claiming in various tweets on Betty Johnson's show, he's doubling down on this nonsense. Today he announced he's going to research The View. It's because he thinks the FCC is a monitoring agency when, in fact, it is a technical agency that was created to manage bandwidth spectrum. So, you know, if you tune into ABC on your TV, you would be sure not to get NBC, right? That's what the FCC's original mandate was. This guy thinks that he is there to determine what is accurate, inaccurate, and what is acceptable and in good taste. Now, the problem here is that Kimmel said nothing wrong. He did not use what is loosely used as the standard, the seven dirty words that George Carlin made famous in one of his bits. You know, he stayed away from those words. There was no nudity. There was no sexual display or anything like that. That it is typically what these FCC fines are related to. And by the way, the first step the FCC usually takes is fines. It's not suspension or revocation of a license, which is what was threatened against ABC. Now, the thing you have to keep in mind is I hear a lot of MAGA supporters out there saying, well, the thing was in bad taste. He tried to pin that shooting on MAGA when, in fact, we all know it's been proven that it was a left-wing trans terrorist or whatever the pejorative phrase of the day is. Now, let me point something out. Was there a trial that took place that I missed, Hody? Was there a trial that where this guy was adjudicated and found guilty? And on that basis, legally and factually, you could say you know who the killer was and what his motives were and what his associations were? The answer is no. So even though Carr is trying to put across some legalistic foundation for this nonsense, all of us know that even on that level, even if you want to say like, well, he knew what it was and he lied and that goes against the common good and this and that, it's crap because no one knows. No one can say to the standard of the law who killed Charlie Kirk as of this moment. No one can say who Charlie Kirk's murderer, you know, what political party they belonged to, what their ideology was. We can have a good guess. But that in itself is technically speculation, right? It's alleged. So when Carr says, hey, I was just threatening to revoke their license because they're knowingly putting out falsehoods, that's nonsense, okay? The second thing is I hear supporters say, oh, well, it wasn't the government that got Kimmel suspended. It was ABC. ABC decided to. ABC and their affiliates decided to the Sinclair and what was the name of the second major affiliate? It was something that begins with the letter N. Oh my goodness, Sinclair and
Nextel.
To say Nextel, but that's like a telephone company. But there was two. By the way, both companies that a couple of days after Carr made or a day after Carr made this announcement, they demanded that ridiculously, they demanded that Kimmel apologize publicly and make a sizable donation to Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization. Right. Next star. Thank you, Chris. Next star. Well, just coincidentally, both those media conglomerates have mergers before the FCC right now, pending mergers that require FCC approval and under FCC regulation. Can any of us wonder if they, in fact, had any reason to capitulate to Carr's nonsense, to capitulate to the government? So this is nothing more than unconstitutional goon arming of a company. And by the way, last year, the Supreme Court in the NRA versus Vulo, so this was to the benefit of a right-wing organization, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0. So yeah, guys, even all the conservative Trump judges voted along with this, ruled that even the perception of government coercion to elicit desired speech is unconstitutional. Right? So even the threat, in that case, it was a New York state official saying that banks in New York would not be allowed to operate within New York State if they did business with the NRA. Okay? And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. Even the threat or the perception of a threat of government coercion to elicit desired speech is unconstitutional. And by the way, that trumps anything the FCC has to say. So, Hody, I've said a lot. I've ranted here. I've gone off on my pro-free speech rant here. Do you need to rein me in a little bit, brother? What happened? Am I losing my mind here? Am I overstating this?
No, this is scary stuff. When the government can control, and let's not forget, when we're talking ABC, that's not just jokes and late-night comedy. That's also news. Right. And so this is something that they say, if we don't like the news that you're saying, that we can step in and stop you and do something about it. Unfortunately, Barr was very blatant about this. He said, we're either going to do this the easy way or the hard way. Right. Like, so it's like, hey, you're going to take down Kimmel, and it can either be you suspend him, or it can be I don't approve anything. I don't even approve of your broadcast channels.
Right.
Right. So, like, what we need to understand is what the FCC actually is supposed to do. Right. And they really just have a few jobs: public safety, homeland security, radio frequency use, fair competition, broadband access. All that is just pretty blatant. The only category I left off here that may have anything to do with Kimmel is media responsibility. Well, even if Kimmel just straight up lied, we've been allowing straight up lies to go on the airwaves for a very long time, right? Like Fox News would be the first one kicked off, right? This is something that we haven't been really letting them do. Now, this was not designed to allow them to have cartels. This is just how it has been used. Some other wrinkles to this: Trump issued an executive order against doing this, saying that the government should not be interfering with, in any capacity, even pressuring public domain groups. And this was, of course, because he was upset with things like Facebook. And listen, there's some legitimacy there. The FBI contacting people about the Hunter Biden laptop story was wholly unprofessional.
Sure.
And absolutely terrible. Like, that was an awful, biased – I mean, and the thing is they, people can say, oh, they didn't threaten him. Right. That's the whole thing. It's the wink, right? The whole – it's an ahem, right? Like, oh, you've got these posts here we don't like.
Right.
Well, it's the friggin' FBI, man. What do you think I'm going to do, right? Like I'm not going to stand tall and all of a sudden fight you on this thing. You take down my social media company, you're taking down my billions of dollars. Listen, Jimmy Kimmel was fixing Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel had halved his audience in the last 18 months. Jimmy Kimmel was already in talks with NBC about he wanted to leave and get out of his contract. And they very well might have accepted it. Now, there's a lot of economic talk that I could do about, because Kimmel was losing money, as is every other late night host. And there's a reason that I don't know if we want to get into it now. But basically, there's a reason that these people stay employed despite losing tons and tons of money. It's interesting, but it's deep econ. But the thing is like he was particularly losing money and not doing particularly well recently. You even heard in his monologue, he stutter steps. There are things that you normally do when you practice your monologue where you control your breathing. That way you can get your punchline out correctly. Right. He wasn't doing any of that, right? You noticed him hiccup in the middle of his lines a couple of times. And so he's on the fritz, right? He's on the fray. He was probably going to fall out. And now what we have here is the government flexing its nuts as opposed to the free market taking care of our Kimmel problem. Right. It'll be a dark day in hell before I say anything good about Jimmy Kimmel's comedy. He is not for me, but he should have been gotten rid of the good old fashioned way where we all just stop watching him as opposed to this. And unfortunately, and I think this is where it takes a turn from like the Hunter Biden laptop story and the mask stories, right, that the FBI was pushing, is they're not pretending anymore. at least the FBI back then were like, hey, we didn't tell him to whatever. This time Barr's like, yeah, and The View is next. And you're just like, oh gosh. Okay. Yeah. So you're not pretending that this isn't about it. To fix this, Congress actually has to, it would be the entity legally that would step in and say, we gave, like, this is the way the power was supposed to be used. It is being used to create a cartel, and it's actually Congress that would have the power to change that. We have put so much power into the executive and taken it away from the legislative branches that I almost wonder if they know they have the power to do it anymore.
Well, I agree with you that Congress typically has abdicated all its responsibilities to the executive by and large. But in this particular case, I will sort of tack on and also slightly disagree with you. Congress could end all this, right? They could just rule that in this day and age, the FCC as a censorship body is no longer necessary. Even that guy Carr, the FCC chairman, said, hey, look, you could say whatever you want on podcasts. You could say whatever you want on cable television. But broadcast television, hey, that's where we draw the line. Well, you know what? The days of broadcast television being the primary source of information for the majority of Americans, even then I would have argued against the FCC having censorship powers. But especially now when, like, network TV, like, is plummeting in terms of watch share and percentage of Americans that get their primary information, good or bad, from network television, it's low. So, yes, Congress should have stepped in and say, we're getting rid of the FCC. The only thing it's going to manage is the same thing that it managed when it was first formed at the turn of the 20th century, which is they need, in the 1930s, I think, they need to manage just the technical aspect of bandwidth licensing. That's it. It's just a technical, one nerd in a spreadsheet could run that entire department if it still needed to exist, right? So that's what Congress should do, in my opinion. But this specific issue, this specific case, Hody, is to me a lawsuit waiting to happen. It's a clear violation of the First Amendment. There's already something like, let me just quickly look at my notes here. There's at least 4 or 5 Supreme Court rulings in the last 50 years or so that all uphold that what Carr did is entirely unconstitutional. So even within the FCC regulations, I think there's, you know, like, there's three pieces for you to revoke a license, you know, which is knowledge of falsity, obviously public damage to the public trust or something like that. And no way 2 of the 3 are met. The falsity of knowledge, maybe if you had like a friendly judge, you know, type of thing. But even then, you would definitely not have all 3 legs of that stool to make that happen. So, and again, let me just quickly do this. I mentioned the NRA versus Vulo last year, which upheld that sort of ruling. You also had the FCC versus the Pacifica Foundation in 1978. You also had Red Lion Broadcasting versus the FCC in 1969. You had Turner Broadcasting versus the FCC in 1994. None of them really support the FCC. Basically, you know, one supports the FCC's ability to limit truly vulgar content, but political speech is not it, right? Like, if we all remember the infamous Janet Jackson nip slip during the Super Bowl, live during the Super Bowl, that was considered obscene because there was nudity involved during a time when the FCC had ruled children might be watching or something like that. And even that was a stretch, but okay, fair enough. But then the other things, you know, like nothing was vulgar. The FCC can promote access to political speech, you know, fair use laws and things like that. But the opposite, which is to suppress Kimmel's speech, is blatantly banned. But last year's ruling, according to my notes here, is the most direct repudiation of what Carr did, which is publicly, to your point, publicly going out and saying, easy way or hard way, about ABC doing something about Kimmel. To your point, Hody, they're saying the quiet parts out loud right now. They don't care anymore. And by they, I mean the Trump administration. They don't care. Like, the fact that they're musing about The View, first of all, The View, as well as Kimmel's Late Show, are not news programs in any way, shape, or form. They're not news programs. They're one's like a variety show. The other one's a talk show. So his ability to regulate it on the basis that it's news and it has to be trusted fails. And also it fails on the account that, again, first of all, Hody, when I initially heard that bit, I had to re-listen to it. But on my first listen, when Kimmel made that statement about pretending that that this shooter was anything other than what they are, you know, that line to that effect, I took it to mean political extremism. I didn't take it to mean strict MAGA. But I could see where someone could interpret it as that. But again, no one's been adjudicated on this. So anything is speculation in the eyes of the law. And again, that's why I think it's ridiculous for people, for ABC. Do you think ABC will at some point stand up to them? Or is it going to be left to NBC, perhaps, to stand up to Trump's FCC in the coming months or years?
I don't know. You know, I think ABC didn't want to fight this out because I think the juice was not worth the squeeze, because what they say is Kimmel wants to leave anyway. The show's probably going to stop soon. We've right. already seen other networks, I mean, getting rid of their late night shows, right? They're not, frankly, good. They're definitely not profitable. And right. so when we're seeing this kind of format on the air, late night show getting phased out anyway, I think ABC was just kind of like, yeah, I could fight this out, but I mean, that would be for principle. We're here for investors. We're here for shareholders. We're here for our own bottom line, right? We're here for right. our own money. So why make it so that it's going to sabotage this deal with Paramount, you know, which would be huge for them. And it's like, okay, why fight over this tiny little thing? And you know what? Maybe we'll just defeat Trump at the midterms, make him a lame duck, and then the next guy will be a Democrat, and then we'll do something about giving ourselves some more independence later. That's how I honestly view that. I think that's how ABC is viewing it. I think that's how Disney's viewing it. I think that's how Nexstar is viewing it. Like, I think to them, they all made a business decision. You and I, as libertarians, as well as the people in the chat, of course, want a principled decision to say, listen, somebody needs to step up to these guys. It sucked when CBS caved. Yes, like, and just like, yeah, I'm just going to pay the lawsuit, the fine. We didn't do it, but you know, whatever, we'll just pay the lawsuit, fine, whatever, you know? And it's like, man, like, we really want, you guys really needed to take a stand there. But, you know, for them, they'll be like, sure, we'll be state media, I guess. Like, whatever is not going to mess with our bottom line. Look, Trump has gone over after people in court, even knowing he's going to lose, because it's on the taxpayer's dime. He doesn't care, right? Like, just keep telling the Department of Justice who to go after. When these people defend themselves in civil courts, because these aren't criminal cases, they are spending their own money. So Trump has an infinite, and he's willing to dig into it, right? Infinite right. treasury with which to pursue these people over, and they don't. And so I think they're looking at the writing on the wall and just saying, well, we're going to run out of money before he does, so let's just give him what he wants. And then, yeah, like, just pray for a different president next time around. It's dark, but that's what I think.
I hear you, and I certainly do feel, I mean, having been the target of nuisance lawsuits myself in the past mm-hmm. with large organizations, you fight it as long as you can, but at some point, you know, you're either in the poorhouse. So I understand that piece. The problem, though, is that there's no such thing as Trump taking his foot off the gas, right? So they got what they wanted in getting Kimmel at least suspended, quote unquote, indefinitely. And maybe Kimmel is such an unsavory character to most people that ABC said, all right, he was planning on leaving anyway. But now they're going after The View. He said, that's your next target. And again, now it's the very threat of going after another program that'll likely result in some changes, right? Maybe they'll put two extra MAGA hostesses on that show. Maybe they'll fire Whoopi. I don't know. Whatever the case is, if this is where ABC has to take a principled stand, not necessarily to the benefit of the Jimmy Kimmel show, but just to their own business. Because, like, hey, man, like a school bully who takes your lunch money, he's going to come back and keep taking your lunch money until you stand up to them, until you punch him in the nose, so to speak. And I think that's what ABC needs to do. I think NBC, CBS, all of them now, they've seen it because it's obvious. Trump has said openly the other day in his press conference, or when he was in between, you know, dinners somewhere, he said, I think the FCC should look at all the late night shows because all of them have been unfair to Trump. Which, by the way, I love how he talks about himself in the third person like that, right? They've all been unfair to Trump. They've all said nasty things about Trump. Fredo Trump, Don Jr. has been out there saying, everybody's against my father. These people need to be investigated. Go, FCC, go. And that's the real danger. The real danger is that we're going to go back to 50s type of broadcasting, where the government basically approved all the newscasters' copies, right? So you need to stand up to it, in my opinion, Terry. It all just falls back to trying to control free speech, no matter what excuse they try to use on either side. Absolutely right, Terry. I don't think anyone can deny that. Chris, Edward R. Murrow is spinning in his grave. You're damn right he is, Chris. I don't think there's any question about that this is not something Murrow would have abided by, or Lenny Bruce, or even to use a more modern type of, or Howard Stern. I mean, those of us old enough to remember Howard Stern with the FCC protests and parades. And back then, believe it or not, NBC, the network that carried his radio show, would always try to stand behind him, right? And always try to pay those FCC fines. And even then, it wasn't a license revocation. It was just constant fines for alleged obscenity. And they just kept adding, wore them down, and nobody gave a second thought about Howard Stern after that. It pays to be old on occasion, Hody. We've lived through this stuff at least once before.
Your analysis is spot on. I mean, going after The View, that's a profitable show, right? Now all of a sudden, they, you know, you caved on the small thing that, oh, it wasn't profitable anyway. Maybe I was willing to look the other way. And targeting The View, that's $20 million of revenue. And that might not sound like a lot when you're used to talking about, like, the government and everything. Right. But it's actually a very easy to produce show, and it's a lot of viewership. And so this is, for them, you know, it may only look like $20 million a year on the docket, but with how easy it is to produce and the advertising and the viewership. And
the target demographic
is critical, right? Yeah. Like, and it's as successful as it's ever been. I think it's ABC's sixth highest viewed program, and it's top 30 in the whole country, right? So this is something that is like, I mean, it's a big deal. And like you said, this is why you don't give in to the bullies, man. You give your lunch money that day, then they want your lunch money for next week. I'm just reinforcing what you're saying. But,
oh, man, that's cool. I appreciate that you are. All right, everyone. You're watching Free For All. Big John and the host are here on a Thursday night. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Really appreciate you taking the time to give us your comments, give us your feedback. Also, watch the show. Tell a friend about us, for criminy's sake. Tell them to come watch Free For All every Thursday night, 10 p.m. All right, let's move on to the next topic of tonight's episode, Hody. And I know this one was something that, while both of us had decided to address tonight, you really wanted to address it. You really said, hey, let's get into this because I want to make sure we talk about it. All right, before we start this, let me see. Chris has a question. Let me see. Big John, what did the old Chris Show trials from the 50s add to the FCC's powers, if anything? I think that was what Chris, and I'm not an expert, so take this with a grain of salt. I think it was a betrayal of the public trust, that they presented it as being an honest contest of wits, where, you know, then they got the producers of the shows were caught feeding answers to people who were more photogenic, who the audience tested better with the live audiences and things of that nature. So, yeah, you didn't realize, you didn't know that? You never heard of that, Hogan?
I mean, I know that there's like fake reality TV today.
No, no,
right?
Back in like the 50s, there were game
the
shows.
50s.
Yeah, and I'm struggling because at this age, I forget things. But there was actually a movie made about this called Quiz Show, actually, I think. And basically, it was this type of thing where you got two contestants, and they were just being given general knowledge questions. And, you won a certain amount of money. Well, what eventually came out was that they were feeding the answers to determine the winner based on who scored better with the live audiences. And it actually turned out one of the guys who was a long-running winner who was getting fed the lines himself, they found somebody who was more photogenic. That dude got upset and decided to rat them out to the public. So, Chris, the FCC did gain regulatory powers, limited regulatory powers over TV. Aside from their technical regulatory powers, they were given the quasi-censorship, in my opinion, over TV, which was, again, there's a three, according to one of their regulatory subsections, they have a three-legged stool: falsity, knowledge of falsity. It's either phrased as losing the public trust or having to pursue the public good, and then equal access for opposing things like that. Yep, the show was a good point out, Chris. Let me put him up on the screen. Chris is acting sort of like our fact checker right now. Coincidentally, the movie Quiz Show was directed by Robert Redford, who just passed away. Yes, R.I.P. Robert Redford. He was the director of that. All right, Hody, as I was saying, let's get to your topic here that you wanted to really talk about. Now, another common theme around MAGA is that they all the right-wing trolls in their employ, both for them and Putin, all get their talking points, and they all blab them out at the same time. This includes senators, congressmen, congresswomen, the Benny Johnsons, the Cat Turds, the D.C. Drainos, all of these people. They all get the same talking points. They're all supposed to amplify the same message. And the message, aside from Jimmy Kimmel needing to get fired, the other message that's been very much almost within an hour of Charlie Kirk's murder is all political violence has been the result of leftists. All political violence right now is solely the domain of the left, of the libtards, of the Democrats, of the anti-MAGATs, whatever. That this is the only group in America that is committing political violence. Now, Hody, me, you, anybody with any sort of half a balanced outlook on society would understand that that's utter nonsense. Statistically, is there a breakdown? I'm sure there is, and I'm sure also that you might have some of those stats. So, Hody, why don't we start out? Just talk to me. What is that? What is, if any, the difference between so-called left-wing political violence in this country and right-wing political violence?
Yeah, it's interesting. So what we're looking at here, and obviously there's violent rhetoric on all sides. This is not something I don't want to dismiss right-wingers who kind of feel that left-wing rhetoric feels more violent.
Right.
A lot of the time. And I think that's probably true even in a historical sense. When we look at left-wing violence, it tends to be against systems and looting and corporations and pipelines and stuff like that. So when we're looking at overall property damage violence, left-wing violence is actually a lot worse than right-wing violence. And then when we talk about actual death, things flip around. Our guest last week, Jacob Winograd, we were talking about this, and he's a right-wing person, right? And so he was like, left-wingers tend to target systems, and right-wingers tend to target people. You know, right-wingers don't like you for who you are. Left-wingers don't like you for what you believe. you know, and so that, and so therefore right-wing violence against a human being tends to be a lot deadlier for that reason. And so there are just simply, when we look at politically motivated attacks, now there's only been two political assassinations in the last decade. Unfortunately, both of them occurred within the last couple months, the Minnesota lawmakers. And there was only one, it was the lawmaker and her husband. So that's only technically one assassination. And then Charlie Kirk. And those are the two that the FBI has listed as political assassination.
Well, and also, but, let me just cut in real quick.
Yeah.
Because I can almost hear the MAGA supporters. There's also the attempted assassinations. And I don't know if I don't know if you worked that into your numbers, but I just wanted to make sure that they didn't feel that we're trying to be slick by saying there's only two assassinations. You know, I'm assuming that you also counted up the attempted political assassination.
Yeah, so if we expand this to a little higher, the issue is you will find two other attempted assassinations in the same decade. Both were against Republicans. However, those weren't politically motivated. One was a work dispute, and the other one was like a true case of psychopathy, right? Like a not, you know. So the thing is we as a nation are actually somewhat blessed to be this free of political violence until recently. The difference is like when somebody is politically motivated, a lot of times they don't hit rational targets because we're dealing with irrational people, right? Whenever you're doing this, if you think robbing a Walmart as a lefty is like sticking it to the man, and you think like shooting Charlie Kirk is going to make the right wing less effective, you're not thinking in a rational place, right? So automatically we're dealing with people that aren't, that haven't really thought things through very well.
By the way, to be fair, same applies for the right-wing political violence perpetrators, right? Like plowing through a crowd of people, you know, in Washington, D.C., really isn't the act of a sane person, right? It's not the act of someone who's thought things through.
Right. So like a right-wing guy like Timothy McVeigh, for example, right? His target was not political, but his motivation was, right? So he was a right-wing extremist, right? He was somebody who was on that side of things and acted with a political motivation, despite not having a target that was necessarily left-wing, right? He's not. So most of these targets, even if it's political motivation, when we look at the violent statistics, they're doing something like, you know, Dylann Roof is another good example. Is he shooting the lawmakers? No, he shot up a black church in Charleston, right? Like this was not somebody who was targeting political people. He was just targeting people. And again, that's a right-wing violence because he was targeting them. Why? Because of who they were, right? Because they were black, you know, and this was kind of his issue with them. The Christchurch shooter wasn't inside the United States, but he was definitely right-wing. Islamophobe, credited Trump with his inspiration, right? Killed, I mean, gosh, was it like 200? It was a ton of people.
Right, right.
Like, and it just tragic, obviously, overall, but these were just people, right? Like, he's not, you know, so when we look at this data, it's obviously we can manipulate it in a lot of different ways if we want to. But the bottom line is, and I'll just summarize it this way.
Sure.
When you look at property damage, left-wing political violence vastly outweighs right-wing political violence. When you look at the human total and murder rate, right-wing violence vastly outweighs left-wing violence.
Right. And I think that's a good distinction because, I admit, I didn't dive into the data the way you did. Intuitively, it makes sense to me, right? Because, and you could see it in the way the pejoratives are hurled, right? So right now, in the wake of what happened to Charlie Kirk, the rhetoric, which is different than debate, by the way, right? The ancient Greeks, when they came up with all these concepts, rhetoric was considered a sophist's trick to win an argument. It wasn't meant to educate you. It was meant to win an argument. A good debater is someone who tried to educate you through conversation, right? But the rhetoric right now, when you hear from the right, is how do they describe the leftists? Evil, scum, vile, right? When you talk to the leftists, how do they describe Trump and his people? fascists, Nazis, right? The use of their pejoratives kind of aligns with what you're saying. The leftists are accusing their targets of being members of evil systems, of evil ideologies, right? Nazis, fascists. The right wingers are personalizing it. They're evil. They're vile. They're scum, right? Those are not systems that they're using to hurl pejoratives at their opponents. It's much more personalized, right? It's a concept of evil, being vile, being scummy, right? And I think that aligns well with what you're saying. Chris, let's see what he has to say here. But if we are being honest about it, the FBI and other such agencies, statisticians, will smudge facts to paint the picture in their favor. I think to some extent you're right, Chris. To some extent you're right. But I think that if both sides are citing those statistics, which mostly they are, I think it's good. It's close enough for horseshoes and hand grenades, and we don't have anything much better. Especially, look, I'm one of those people that, while I distrust government as a whole, I don't necessarily distrust the majority of the people who work in government, right? So, for example, those analysts at the FBI, at the CIA, at NSA and everything, the alphabet soup agencies themselves and their leadership are despicable. But the people who've been there for 20 years are largely apolitical. They go in, they just do their job day in and out. I don't assign evil intent to all of them. I don't think they're malevolent. I don't think they have these grandiose, plans to make things fall a certain way politically. So for the most part, yeah, I accept and acknowledge what you just said in terms of fudging statistics, but those tend to happen downstream, right? Like, so at the state level, they'll use FBI statistics. And just like any statistic, interpret them and present them in a way that best benefits them, both politically or economically at the moment. So I agree with you on that. Terry wants to know, what about the Steve Scalise incident there, Hody?
That's a fantastic question, because there are actually many of us can think of a lot of things where it's like, well, how is the attack on Paul Pelosi not?
Right.
Like how was, and Steve Scalise, for those who don't know, that's the baseball game shooting in 2017. So there are, there's actually a great report on this that is out. I obviously, you know how I love to read, reports like that. This report is only 27 pages. But it is worthwhile to read. And so basically what they're saying is, because what you say is, oh, this guy was a Bernie Sanders fan and he shot up a baseball game that had GOP people in it. So this is why it's important to dig into the data, because I think you could easily qualify it like that, that he was going to go out that way. His primary motivation was suicide by cop. He actually did mail letters, to his, I think, brother, to some friends, but was like, I'm depressed. I want to die and I'm going to go out with the police shooting at me. And so therefore his primary motivation wasn't an assassination. His primary motivation was to die. The thing is, and you are absolutely, you should read the data. You should read the report, because you could easily come to a different conclusion there. So we could easily expand this to other attempted assassinations, but for both Republicans and Democrats. The difference is they kind of looked at those and decided, I don't think the primary motivation was political. It looked to be something else. It just manifested this way. It's splitting hairs a little bit when we talk about it, but it is kind of, I guess it's important if we're to actually establish the mentality of the assailants and what they're actually thinking. There are, if you want to see the reports, if you don't want to read the entire thing, the notes he wrote are actually at the bottom of that there, but you'll see a majority report if you look it up.
Sure. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow you off there. I'm kind of typing up some things, but I listened to every word you said, I assure you. Terry says, bureaucrats are not apolitical, Big John. If I said apolitical, I guess I didn't mean it quite that way. I didn't mean that they have no political leanings or beliefs, Terry. I think that they don't manifest themselves in the workplace, right? Like a lot of the career federal workers that I'm aware of, or even state workers, they'll go and they'll do their job. If you ask them, are you a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian, they might give you an answer. But I don't think, in my opinion, there's that many of these bureaucrats who are like, oh, as I'm collecting this data, crime data, and entering it into the database, I'm going to make it look like MAGA people are more violent, or I'm going to make it look like Antifa people are more violent. I don't think they are at any level of significance doing that. It's just not what I've experienced. And Terry, thanks, Hody, for the explanation. So always happy, always glad to hear one of our viewers say they're happy and they're glad that Hody was able to give them some information that perhaps they didn't have.
Yeah. And listen, guys, I don't trust the FBI either, right? Like, this is Big John and I. We're on a libertarian podcast, right? We don't want to – these are the same people that were like, here's 75 agents who said that the Hunter Biden laptop doesn't exist, who signed this letter while it's in their possession, right? Like, obviously, these are very bad people that are trying to create a very skewed narrative, right? And so one of the most famous ways that people are saying they're skewing the narrative right now is most of the data that we're looking at has excluded 9/11. The thing is we have so few political motivations that if you include 9/11, you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be the 9/11 story, right? So I understand what, but even then, like, if you want it included, which I totally understand, like, you just need to understand why they're doing these things. So keep them in check. Obviously, the FBI doesn't have a lot of checks. Verify their information. If you don't trust them, I don't either. So, you know, that is certainly your prerogative.
Right.
As far as like the FBI just like loves left wingers, I'm going to point you to a specific book called Manufacturing Consent. It's a really good book, but the FBI is certainly not a left wing organization. They are fine with promoting fascist regimes abroad and doing fascist things in general. Everybody knows about like the CIA with the cocaine getting to the inner cities, right? So like these are evil people. They are not left-leaning or right-leaning evil people. They are just evil people.
Yeah, and that's a better way of saying what I was trying to say, because like, I mean, and it's human nature.
Yeah.
When you're confronted with examples of how your perceptions may have been wrong, you tend to write them off as being either irrelevant or insignificant, right? So yeah. God bless him, my partner here, William Del Pilar, on his conservative show, he got very upset at me and Mike Tremont when he had us on last week when we tried to explain to him that really it's not all leftist political violence, right? And he said, oh, yeah, give me some examples. You know, when you start to rattle them off, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, those aren't really conservatives. Those aren't really right-wingers, you know. Like, for example, not to pick on William, but there's a lot of people like William who will say, well, we don't count the white supremacists among right-wingers because we don't acknowledge them, right? So why should they count on our ledger for causing political violence? Hoover was a horrible FBI director. We all knew it. And I guess everything he did as the head of the FBI to hold down the lefties, the liberals, and the hippies for, what was it, 50, 60 uninterrupted years? Well, we don't acknowledge that because he's not here anymore. You know, and I think it becomes – and by the way, that's not just a right-wing cognitive dissidence, right? It's also on the left too. So, I mean, you have to at least try – to step back. I mean, one of the things I always say, libertarians don't have a horse in this race when it comes to Republicans and Democrats. So maybe that gives us the advantage of, at least in these binary situations, of stepping back and being able to say, all right, is it really a case of both sides do it? Is it really a case that only one side does it, Hody? But like, do you find that also, like, a lot of times, because you really are a believer in talking to people and trying to come to an understanding and that opening those lines of communication. Do you also run into that a lot where if someone says, show me proof, and you show them proof, then it's like, well, I don't count them as being right wing, or I don't count them as being left?
Yeah. I mean, proof doesn't go very far in today's society.
All right.
And that's a human trait, frankly. That's not like a new modern thing where like everybody's just, you know, I don't like it when people act like, oh, the kids don't believe in proof anymore. We've always had our biases and refuted evidence before our eyes. The difference is right now is we are so atomized and fragmented as a society that we are willing to believe more and more bigger lies. And so it further divides us. And so I find that when I am trying to, because I am a big believer in talking to people, but as some of the folks who are even in the chat will tell you, who have seen me do this when I talk to people, I rarely go at the facts, right? Like if they say, I think 9/11 was an inside job or something, I don't start immediately grilling them about facts. What we do instead is I de-escalate and we talk about how's life at home, get connected with the community, how's it going? I mean, this is the Daryl Davis approach, right?
Right. Like, right.
Racism doesn't come from a rational place. So arguing racism rationally doesn't really make a lot of sense. What Daryl Davis does is said, hey, can I go to your kid's graduation? Hey, let's hang. I mean, his big one was obviously let's talk jazz. Let's talk blues. Right. Let's hang out and talk music. Right. And then when they develop that friendship, you end up then being able to kind of get through to them that way. So it's just not really, we're just not in a place where facts change a lot of things. I do want to alter something I said because it sounded counter to what you said, and I don't like the way I said it. I mean, there are apparently 5,000 plus FBI agents that are telling Kash Patel that he's a liar on the stand. And so I did say like the FBI is like a bunch of liars. Like I think this is what you were trying to say. Not every single one of those people are bad people. Some of them, they're working for an evil system, but I do believe that they believe in the truth. And why would 5,000 of them put their livelihoods on the line, you know, if there weren't some good in them, right? Like obviously they want to do good things. I am not the guy. I'm not the ACAB guy. I do believe in police abolition for a different program. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But, you know, for me, I do think it's possible to think that you are doing the right thing and to actually be good-hearted. Comes a point where you just say, oh, taking over Cambodia and genociding a bunch of people, I'm going to back off on that one, right?
Right. Like, there are certain lines you don't step over, perhaps. And it really is up to look yourself in the mirror. Free brings up a good point. The abortion clinic violence is nearly all right wing. Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Yep.
Chris, when do we include political violence from the government? Stonewall, Kent State, move bombings, Ruby Ridge, Waco, just to name a few. Well, yeah. They don't count themselves in those statistics at all. You're absolutely right, Chris.
That is under democide, and outside of like old age, I think it's the number one way you're not just America. That's the number one way you die in the world over the last 100 years.
Oh, government violence?
Yeah, it is classified as democide, and it is worth looking up the data on. It is absolutely political violence, and it is rambunctious.
Right. Okay, so we've kind of broken down the right versus left political violence, Hody. And what's coming out of it, as is typically expected, is the exploitation of a tragedy for political gain. Now, by no means am I implying that this is a right-wing phenomenon. Obviously, who was it? Rahm Emanuel, Obama's chief of staff, I think at one point said, hey, never let a good emergency go to waste, right? That in the wake of emergencies, in the wake of tragedies, there's political opportunity to be had. Republicans are in control for the moment of all branches of the federal government. So right now it's a right-wing phenomenon, but it clearly is everywhere. After Charlie Kirk's murder, almost immediately, and as I, by the way, get a chance, listen to Liberty Lens this week. Mike and I kind of also touched on this. Mike Termont and I also touched on this. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with Charlie Kirk's widow. It has nothing to do with Turning Point USA. Those poor people are still grieving a horrific loss. And as is always the case with people in such, you know, overwhelming grief, they might say or do things that they otherwise would not do. I will never, ever comment on anything someone said like that, because I think the human thing to do is to allow them their grief. But for every other sycophant out there, the J.D. Vances of the world, the Donald Trump Jr.'s of the world, the Donald Trumps of the world, every Republican lawmaker who has flapped their pie hole on the public airwaves about this, the naked opportunism to try to further consolidate power into the executive branch right now is sickening. It's disgusting. And unfortunately, Hody, I can't even say that it's unexpected. Like the second it happened, I think all of us, whether it was on our company chat, whether it was, you know, over Twitter or whatever amongst ourselves, said, I just hope this doesn't escalate. Tended to be the general, I would say, feeling amongst us, right, Hody? Because you knew this was coming. Either there was going to be a retaliatory act of violence, which, thank God, has not happened as of yet, or it was going to be used as the reason, as the catalyst for even more authoritarianism on the part of the Trump administration. We're already starting to see that, aren't we, Hody?
Yeah, I actually had written down, I can't believe you said it too, how predictable this was.
Yeah.
I think even down to like the assassination, that tensions are just so high right now that something like this, it comes off as predictable, right? Like we just kind of come off as just being like, oh, yeah. Like people don't know what to do. They feel lost. They've lost faith in the democratic system and fixing this politically. And you heard not only in the shooter said there's some people who can't be reasoned with. J.D. Vance said there's some people who just can't be reasoned with, right? Like this is a sentiment now that we have coming from violent extremists who are just saying there's no reasoning with this anymore, right? And then the next steps, all very predictable as well. Trump has already shown that he does not care about the Second Amendment when it's not his guys that are in the crosshairs, right? Like he does not care about trans rights. He does not care about gay rights. Like these are, you know, he is deleting the jobs report if it like makes him mad. He deleted the Department of Justice report about right wingers doing more violence than left wingers. He deleted an FBI report, right? Like this guy is willing to do whatever it takes to get his way. He's shown it in the past. And so I think we all knew this was coming. You and I were preparing the speech, like yes. The attack on free speech talks. You and I were already talking about, hey, here comes the Second Amendment, the attack on the Second Amendment from the right wingers now. And sure enough, like clockwork. And it's just so predictable. And that's kind of part of what makes it so sad is that it's just so we all are kind of doing the motions in this dance right now and begging somebody to stop the music, you know. But here we are, you know.
You know, Hody, I keep saying this. People think I'm either starting to really lose it mentally or maybe just perhaps clowning myself a little bit. But really, as you get older and you reach a certain age, let's say you've lived to be 50, 60, 70, you've seen 2-3 separate generations, right? A human generation is between 20 and 25 years. And that's typically when you start to see history repeat itself. I know it sounds crazy, but you start to see the same thing. Like you said, we kind of expected this reaction. It's sad, but we kind of expected it. But what's even sadder is that people don't learn from history. When has giving government more power worked out well? When has regime change ever worked out well? When has curbing individual rights ever worked out in the positive? Never, never, never. And yet, I literally heard the Vice President of the United States say, ruling by executive order used to be a bad thing. But that's because you had dumb presidents. Now we have a smart president, and executive orders are the best way to go right now. And I sat there saying, that's something I would have expected in the Saturday Night Live sketch. Literally, that you would have a vice president so tone deaf and idiotic that he would get on public airwaves and say something like that out loud and not expect any pushback. And unfortunately, there wasn't very much pushback, right? And that is what's really and truly depressing to me, Hody. Not the predictability of this is bad enough. The the fact that there's so many people who have seen this before in recent years who are just going to be like, ah, maybe it'll be different this time. Why? Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? I don't know. That to me is what's more depressing, Hody.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. I don't know if I have a better summary than that for you, so I'll just ditto what you said, that it is, I think, like you said, it is difficult to listen to an extremist who has committed murder and then listen to somebody politically in charge echo their same sentiment, and you just kind of go, oh, we are very far gone from common sense. Like, the people that are ruling us have a lot in common with the people that, like, the worst of us, you know?
Right.
And this is the nature of politics, you know? We've just, and I think, unfortunately, there's an acceptance of it.
Right.
And I think there just needs to be more, frankly, libertarians or just people who say, you know what, I have this line. And I said this with Kamala Harris, too, that just said, hey, listen, being complicit in the genocide, automatic disqualifier, right? Like, that seems very basic, right? Oh, you use the faulty crime lab to incarcerate innocent people? Automatic disqualifier, right? Like, let's finally get some decent people of decent character. Something that I tell people is you almost never get somebody's policies, but you always get their character. And so we just need to start looking at people like Trump, like Vance, that have no character, and just saying, nope. Like, I don't care what your policies are. I don't care how much I hate the left, too, or whatever it is. Let's focus on somebody of good, upstanding character, and the policies will work themselves out from there. And I just think that we as Americans need to kind of get to that, because until we do, we're just going to – we've kind of consigned ourselves to this, being the result.
Right, right. All right. That's a sort of like downer way to end the show, I think, Hody. But, you know, it needed to be said. It needed to be pointed out. Chris, Brady Bill and Patriot Act followed political violence, both horrendous laws passed by right-wing administrations. What's next? Probably state approved media is probably where we're headed right now, if we were to believe everything that we're seeing in its infancy right now, Chris, is what I would say. And then Free. One more. The Democrats called and they said Hody can't, I'm assuming, can't keep that gun. Sorry, Hody. Or can't keep that gun. Sorry, Hody. There you go. They want the libertarians weak, Hody. That's why you can keep those guns. Anyway. All right,
I'll,
everyone.
I'll relinquish one bullet. Where do you want it?
All right, everybody. You've been watching Free for All right here on Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com. And please don't forget, let's do this one more time before we go. Go buy your Live Free t-shirt. Help the boys here continue podcasting. Shop all of our swag. We've got lots of different swag. Oh, Hody's showing the pecs off again. Go to shop.grumblingsmedia.com or just scan the QR code there for that particular t-shirt, that good-looking t-shirt. Until next week, everyone, when once again Hody and I, and perhaps a guest or two, will be here next week. Be safe. Peace, everyone.